Welcome to Education Currents, a show designed to provide current educational news and commentary from a Christian worldview. The greatest resource any community has is its children, and by providing for them the best possible education, we are providing for ourselves and future generations. Join us as we explore the latest social and political issues surrounding education. Here are your hosts, Dr. Rose Gamblin.
Welcome, welcome. I'm here with Bly Bemis Durfer, and he has written a book called Classified. And Bly, just set the stage for us on how this book came to be. Tell us about your life.
Okay. I've been a Seventh-day Adventist all my life, member of the church, and quite active. And back in about 1990, 91, I was going through, after 30 years of marriage, I was going through a divorce, midlife crisis, bankruptcy. I lost a business, and it really had an effect on my mind. And I didn't feel as though anybody cared, and so I got to the point where I didn't care either, and so I decided to take my own life. And this is when all this started, unbeknownst to me at the time. And so there's a short story in the book about this period of my life when God saved my life with a guinea pig. And how he did that was my son had a pet guinea pig, and he had moved out of the house but hadn't taken the pig yet. And I decided one day, I knew he had a revolver under the bed, and I decided one day I was so depressed and down that I just didn't want to live anymore. So I went into the room, and I got the revolver and loaded it. And the guinea pig was in a box just a few feet away from me. I was sitting on the edge of the bed. And in the box was another box that they like to crawl in and hide. It only has one hole. And that hole was facing away from me. So there was no way that this guinea pig could even see me. And when I put the revolver up to my head, this guinea pig came running out of this little box and stood up on the edge of the outer box and looked straight at me and started barking. And I looked at it, and I said, "Leave me alone. Go back in your little box and mind your own business." And immediately, I mean immediately, he went back in his little box. And so I put the gun up to my head again, and immediately he came running out the second time. Now, a guinea pig wasn't trained to do this.
No, guinea pigs, that's not typical guinea pig behavior.
By any means, yes. So I looked at him again, and I said, "Mind your own business and leave me alone and go back in your box." And immediately he went back in his box. That's the second time. So the third time I put the gun up to my head, and I figured this is going to be it. Out he comes running again. Barking louder. I couldn't believe that he could even bark louder, but he was barking louder, looking straight in my eyes. And at that point, I started to realize what was happening here. I came to my senses. You know, it kind of reminds me of the prodigal son. He came
yes.
to himself. And I realized, wow, what's going on here? What am I doing? And it was like, after this happened, I thought to myself, three times that guinea pig came running out and spoke to me. And it just made me automatically think of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. All three of them were speaking to me through that guinea pig and saying, "Don't do it, don't do it. We love you, we love
yes.
you, we love you." You know?
Yes.
And this was the thoughts that were going through my mind. And so at the time I didn't realize, well, now why would God want to save my life like this? I mean, it was an outright miracle. No question about it. And so I kind of pondered this for a while and thought, well, what am I going to do now? You know, just kind of get back in the groove and start rebuilding my life and so forth. So that's what I did. And at that point, I had lost everything. And I had gotten acquainted with another gal who a year later we got married. And we moved, this was in Pennsylvania, we moved from Pennsylvania to Arkansas to start a new life together. And it was while, right after we moved to Arkansas, that God, the Holy Spirit, started speaking to me. And I would just keep getting these thoughts all the time about writing things, you know, and I ignored them. I said, no, I'm not an author. I'm not a writer. I can't do this. I don't have the mentality for this. And this went on for over a year. And I kept ignoring and putting off the Holy Spirit. But he kept putting thoughts in my head and saying, come on, start writing these things down. So one day while I was sitting there waiting to go to work one morning, I was just bombarded with all these thoughts. And I had a notepad in the glove compartment of my car, and I reached for it, and I said, okay, Lord, you win. So I started writing these things down. And that's when the book got started. Now, it took me a couple years to do all this, to write down everything and make my manuscript. And then I started looking for someone who could put it together for me that I can send it to a publisher. And a friend of mine came up to me and said, Bly, he says, I got somebody who's willing to do this for you, a friend of mine, and she's kind of eager to do this and said that she's willing to do it free. I said, oh, great, okay. So I gave her my manuscript, and that was the last I saw of her. Manuscript and all. Never got it back. So I had to redo the whole thing.
Oh, no.
And at that point, I'm thinking, Lord, you inspired this book. You wanted me to write this. I ignored you for over a year, and now here we are. I'm ready to go with this, and this happens?
Yeah.
So I started putting everything back together, and finally I got it together, and a friend of mine said, Bly, I would really like to do this for you because it's something I would enjoy doing, and I know that I could help you with it and so forth. So I said, okay. So I gave her my manuscript, and she procrastinated. And finally I went to her, and I said, look, I need to have either do this or I need it back so I can get somebody who can do it for me. So she says, well, yeah, you're right. I've really been putting it off, and I really haven't had the time to do it. So she gave it back to me, and I started looking for someone else, and it just so happens to be that we had some new people come in and baptize into the church, and we're all excited, all on fire for the Lord and everything. And she heard that I was looking for someone, and she came to me and said, Bly, she says, I can do this for you. She says, I'm pretty good at doing things like this. I've done it before, and I can get it all typed up for you and ready for the publisher. And I said, are you sure? Because I was kind of, you know, new and everything she was, and her husband. And I said, oh, okay. So I gave her the manuscript, and she started doing it, and she put it all together really nice and presented it to me. And I started proofreading it, and I found that there were some changes made, which didn't agree with me. So I had to reread the whole thing and go through and make all the correct all the changes and start looking for someone else to do it again. Now, this is the third time, and I'm thinking, boy, Satan does not want this book to be published. Does not want this book to be published. And there's reasons for it, which I'll get to later.
Yes.
So I got acquainted with a gal in Florida, and eventually, over a period of a year or two, we got to know each other really well, and I actually fell in love with her. And she was an eighth secretary. And so I asked her, I said, would you mind doing this for me? She said, no, I'd love to. So I gave her the manuscript. She put it all together just as perfect can be. I mean, I probably didn't even need a publisher. It was so good. But she got it finished, and I called... Teach Publishing, and asked them if they would be interested in publishing the book, and they said, well, send it to us and we'll see. So I sent it to them, and make a long story short, they ended up publishing it. And I really believe that Satan tried to prevent that book from being published, and I really believe that the book was inspired by the Holy Spirit, and I really believe there's a time and a place for this book to be. And I really think that right now is the time for God's people to read this book, because the purpose of this book is many-fold. Number one, it's an evangelistic outreach. It calls those who are weak in the faith, who are discouraged, who need inspiration to enhance their relationship with the Lord, and especially those who may have been an Adventist and have left the church. It's a recall. And it helps a person to reevaluate their relationship with the Lord, and it gives them the tools that they need to understand what it means to be a Christian, to love Christ, and also explains some of the problems that will exist in the church. You know, it's not a bed of roses. Satan's working within God's people even more fiercely than he is without. And so there's a lot of problems that exist outside the church, things of the world, characteristics that are taking place and changes that are coming into the church that we see. And it kind of distinguishes some of those and helps us to understand that God is working in the lives of individuals, that Jesus is coming soon, that we need to have a personal relationship with him and not just love him, but to be in love with him. Because when you love, you know, it's... when you love someone, it's like you don't want any harm to come to them. But it's different than being in love. Being in love is an intimate relationship, and Christ wants to have an intimate relationship with him. And this book helps the individual to have that kind of relationship.
We're going to take a break right here, but when we come back, I want to actually look at the different chapters of the book. I'm talking with Bly and his book called Classified, and you can go to teachservices.com and learn more. You can call their 800 number, 1-800-367-1844. We'll be right back.
You've been listening to Education Currents, a production of MRG Media. You know, be sure and like Education Currents on Facebook and also consider partnering with us in this educational ministry. You can share your resources or show ideas. My address is P.O. Box 413, Smithsburg, Maryland, 21783. Or call me at 301-824-3162.
You've got questions? God has answers, and they're all found in the Bible. Welcome to God's Treasure Chest. I'm Charles Mills. Let's see what's hiding in God's Word today.
Where did God come from, besides always being there? Is there something better than God?
We humans experience the cycle of life in three stages. We're born, we live, we die. Everything has a beginning, middle, and end. Then God comes along and says, I tell you the truth. Before Abraham was born, I am, John 8:58 NIV. Notice he didn't say, I was. He said, I am. Everything we see didn't exist at one time or another. And everything we see will die, fade, vanish, be absorbed, change into something else, or be consumed, including us. So the idea of an I am doesn't fit into our human thinking. So, if I say to you, God didn't come from anywhere because he always existed, you won't understand, and I don't expect you to. I don't understand either. But it's true. We simply have to admit there are things about God we don't know. Is there something better than God? I truly don't think so. He is one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all, Ephesians 4:6 NIV. And I believe that's all we'll ever need. If you'd like to learn more about God and his amazing treasure chest, write for your free kids-only Bible course. The address is Treasure Chest, P.O. Box 53055, Los Angeles, California, 90053. Discover the many answers waiting for you in God's treasure chest.
You know, it's a funny thing. In all the debate over health care, you never hear doctors mentioned. It's as if they're perfect. Hi, I'm Paul Tooley, and I'd like to have an education moment with you. The education debate is an entirely different story. Teachers are put squarely in the crosshairs of blame. Is it fair, though? Is it any fairer to blame the teacher for the state of education than it is to blame doctors for the state of our health care? One could hardly blame a doctor for the state of his patient's health if that patient refused to take reasonable care of themselves and follow a healthy lifestyle. The same with teachers. How can they take responsibility for students who come to school unprepared and unwilling to learn? It's the state of the American family that is at the heart of educational problems in the United States today.
This Education Moment has been brought to you by EducationCurrents.com. That's EducationCurrents.com.
Welcome back. I'm here with Bly Bemis Durfer. That is a very cool name.
You do a good job. Better than most people.
We're talking about his book called Classified, and he shared with us before the break the story, and I know that anybody who's read the story of Balaam and the talking donkey, God uses animals. You know, when there's no human beings around, he will use whatever. He says the rocks even will cry out if they need to be. So in your situation, the guinea pig cried out.
That's right. That's the day I learned guinea pig language.
Yes, and of course, I've had many guinea pigs, and I've never seen that behavior. I've never seen them or heard them bark. So that guinea pig was definitely doing the Lord's will in that situation.
Amen.
You start your book with this interesting scenario, if you were the devil. And as I read every situation, I thought, I've seen that. Oh, yeah, I can relate to that. Have you experienced all of these? Like, if you were the devil to the young, you would whisper, the Bible is a myth. And the old, you would teach them to pray Our Father which art in Washington. And then you'd go get organized. You would educate authors on how to make lurid literature exciting so that anything else would appear dull and uninteresting. You'd work through TV. You'd work through families to war against themselves. And, of course, our church families do a great job of warring against themselves. So as you went through that, those scenarios, setting us up for the rest of the book, have you actually experienced...
Some of those things I have, but not everything. I actually got that story from a news commentator, and right now offhand, his name slips my mind.
I'm reading it right here. Paul Harvey.
Yes,
if
Paul Harvey.
I Were the Devil, 1965.
Yeah. They gave me permission to put that in the book, and I thought it was an excellent
example. Yeah, it really caught my interest.
Satan can work. Not only in our lives, but in the lives of other people that affect our lives.
In fact, it almost is a great list, you know, for a complacent Christian or any Christian to every so often check, are they falling into any of those traps? Are they succumbing to any of those lies of the devil?
I'll tell you, Satan does not leave any stone unturned. He'll try any means that he can to discourage us, to turn us away, to depress us, and all these things are of him. But you know, the wonderful thing about it is the Spirit of the Lord is still working in conjunction with that, or in opposition to that. And the Spirit of the Lord comes to us in many ways as well and tries to give us encouragement. And I think one of the most useful ways that not only Satan uses, but God uses as well, is other people. They affect our life probably more than anything that I can think of. They do my life anyhow. And so sometimes we just need to kind of step back from ourselves and get a broader picture of what is surrounding us and say, put ourselves in a position of other people and say to ourselves, they're seeing me through a different eye and not my eye. And maybe that's why they don't understand me completely and they're treating me this way.
You know?
And it could be either for good or for bad. But Satan uses these things, and God uses these things, and I think our reaction depends largely on how we are focused to relate to these things and what our attitude is. I believe attitude is everything. You know,
yes.
I used to fly an airplane, and the attitude of an airplane, in other words, the direction in which it's flying means it's either flying or it's going to crash. If the attitude is looking up, the plane's going to stay in the air. If the attitude of the plane is looking down, it's going to crash. And so we have to have a looking up attitude. We're looking up to Christ.
That's right. Our whole theme, it seems, should be getting ready for Jesus' soon coming.
Right.
Now, you titled your book Classified. Tell us a little bit about why you called it that.
I thought about many titles, but this one word kept coming to my mind, and after a while I thought, okay, Lord, if that's what you want, that's what it's going to be. And the reason the word classified was chosen, I believe, is because everyone is classified. And there's only two classifications. You're either with God or you're against Him. There's no middle of the road. There's no on-the-fence thing. We make decisions and choices every day, either for or against. And this is what basically builds our character. And this is what either enhances or takes away from our relationship with the Lord and Satan.
Yes.
And so a person who is classified with the world is basically classified with Satan. And what they need to do is they need to reclassify themselves and let the Spirit of the Lord speak to them so that their classification can be written in the books of heaven. In other
Amen.
Words, their name written on the book of life. And that's really the goal that we need to strive for, is to be classified with Jesus Christ
Amen.
And not the world.
Amen.
And so the book is called Classified, and it helps people to understand where they are classified, and if a change needs to be made, it helps them to reevaluate themselves to make that change and let the Holy Spirit work in their life.
Well, we only have about 3 minutes left of the show. Tell us a little bit about what's going to happen in the future. What is God telling you to do in the future?
Well, since I wrote the book, I've become involved in prison ministry for a while. All along, I had been involved in music. I was a member of several music groups, one that traveled the East Coast. One was in Arkansas, Northwest Arkansas, where I was involved in a prison ministry as well. And then I decided to go off on my own personal ministry. And I believe the Lord led me into a ministry to where I give inspirational programs. And I sing, I give testimonies, and I also have the book. So when I do a program, it involves the children as well, with children's stories. And I've seen and heard so many people that were benefited by then. It's just so inspiring to me to want to do more. And so this is where the Lord has led me. And as I look back to what had happened with the guinea pig, I realize why God saved my life. He wanted me to write this book, to draw other people to Him and help them evaluate their lives. He wanted me to become involved in personal ministry, helping others. And so that's what I've been doing.
Praise
And I
God.
See myself doing that until I can't anymore.
Yeah, until He comes. Well, we're going to conclude the show, but I'm happy for your testimony because it reminds me that God takes our brokenness.
Yes.
And from that crucible of suffering, ministry is born.
Yes.
So I have one last thing to say, and that is God bless.
Thank you. God bless you.
You have been listening to Education Currents, a production of MRG Media Ministries. For more on this or to contact us, go to mrgmediaministries.com. That's all one word, mrgmediaministries.com.